Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 17 January. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you loud and live from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kuntz from Sanlam Private Wealth, Sean Nethling from Morningstar, local versus offshore, and then Deepak Ramaraju. He's a principal advisor for the Indian Opportunity Fund. Want to dig into the investment case for India. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb: how much Capitec's departing CFO's shares are worth. André Duplessis, spoiler, it's a lot. Business Day, brace yourself, interest rate hikes are coming. MPC only next week. Analysts are saying between 3 to 5.25% interest rate hikes during 2022. Morning markets, US was green on Friday. S&P up 0.1, Nasdaq up 0.75%. US is closed today for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Asia green, Sydney up 0.1, Tokyo up 0.7. Commodities green over the weekend. Gold 1,818. Brent 86.14 keeps on moving higher. Rhodium has slipped a bit, 16,400. Rand 15.40. Top 40 opening call, looking for a modest green open. In fact, it's now dropped to 25 points. I think we can call that flat. And 10 cent trading down 1.7% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kuntz, Senior Portfolio Manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning. China GDP came out, about 2.5 hours ago, 4 o'clock our time. 4% for second quarter, 8.1% for 2021. A lot of chatter around, we're seeing some slowdown in Chinese GDP. My sense is, I don't know, that number probably good enough to keep markets happy, notwithstanding US closed, which will mean a quiet day.
Yeah, morning, Simon. That's exactly right. It's, as you pointed out, Martin Luther King Day, so it's going to be pretty thin markets. But, I mean, overall, yeah, I think it'll give the markets a little bit of a bid, although, it's significantly slower than we've seen over past quarters. Mm. But, I mean, I think that's to be expected. And I think this is a little bit of a concern for me and for all of us, with the second biggest economy in the world, probably slowing those days of 6.5 to 8.5% probably behind us for now. But then you saw them this morning. I think the risk of not being involved is the Chinese government doing what they're doing this morning. You know, they're going to be coming in and cutting rates and certainly adding sort of stimulus to the market, which should be good for commodities and good for South Africa.
Yeah, good for commodities, absolutely. Staying offshore quickly, we've been seeing selling, particularly in the tech stocks. Results are starting to come out. JP Morgan, good results, lowered guidance. Wells Fargo actually just looking really strong. Citi, they seem to be in a bit of a tough spot. They're actually trading below TNAV. But particularly with the tech stock sector, we've been seeing some selling. We've been seeing some tumbling. I mean, is that raising concern? We've certainly seen massive run in the US, for a decade now.
So I think you're going into the start of this year, and I think most of us are back now. I think everyone's back at their desk this Monday. What are the themes for this year? I think ultimately we've got to realize inflation's coming, and as you pointed out in your intro, South Africa's going to be raising rates, and America's going to be raising rates. The Fed, everyone else is going to be raising rates. So high interest rate environment, higher inflation, higher yields, typically not good or historically not good for risk assets, especially tech shares, which a majority of them don't make money. So it's not good for them. So be a little bit careful there. But then, you know, on that other side of that, Simon, be a little bit careful sort of, using, tarring it the same brush. Not all tech shares are the same. You know, something like Apple sitting in hundreds of billions of dollars of cash and no debt, you know, rising interest rates doesn't affect them in the slightest. Just be very careful sort of lumping all tech shares the same. But in general, I favor sort of things that real assets as opposed to these tech shares going into the environment I think we will be in the next 12 months.
And then some real assets. Richemont update for the last quarter, probably Wednesday. I got to say, this is one I got wrong. I didn't think we would be buying fancy watches during a pandemic. Turns out we do. How are you guys playing this Richemont? I mean, it's trading 222. A year and change ago, it was around 100.
Yeah, no, I also got this totally wrong. And how we're playing it, we've got them in our portfolios, but I think we lightened up quite a bit ago. Also got it wrong. Didn't envisage that the super rich couldn't get on airplanes and travel, so next thing they do would buy expensive handbags. But yeah, we got this wrong. Look, it's very expensive. But yeah. I think just be careful. If you've got the shares, probably don't jump out just yet, because I think this trend is going to continue for now. And also there's a little bit of consolidation in that sector. We've seen it with Tiffany's last year, or was it early last year, LVMH also getting involved, sniffing around. So there might be a little bit of corporate play, but on the face of it, though, it is quite expensive.
Yeah, it is expensive stock, but it has done spectacularly well. Nkunza, portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Sean Nethling. He's Morningstar Investment Management at SA. Sean, appreciate the early morning time. Locally, we've had, I mean, since the sell-off of February 2020, a strong rebound in South African equities. Truthfully, a strong rebound in global equities at the same time. I suppose the first question is, are you still seeing value potential in local equities, notwithstanding how hard they've run over the last couple of years?
Yeah, morning, Simon, and morning to listeners as well. Thanks for having me on the show. Yes, I think from our side, obviously, March 2020, a particularly pronounced sell-off, and that was particularly surprising to us, and also the speed of the recovery. So I think, you know, what we're seeing just in very broad terms in South Africa, you know, markets have run particularly hard, especially at the broader index level. You know, those markets look closer to sort of what we think of fair value levels. But we do think for sort of more, let's call it differentiated stock pickers, for stock pickers that are willing to deviate somewhat from the index, and particularly move away from the large accounts more towards sort of the mid-cap sectors, mid-cap companies, there does seem to be still some compelling value in SA.
And is it? I mean, I take your point around that. The broad index is expensive, but there's value, particularly as you sort of move down. And that makes sense. We see the large caps run, and then the sort of mid stocks come a little bit later. Are there certain sectors or spaces that you're looking at? Because a lot of my listeners are going to be saying, but hang on, you know, look at the economy out there in South Africa. CPI later this week. We've got inflation rising, but the market is never the economy. And are there certain sort of pockets that you think have even better potential within that sort of mid-cap space?
Yeah. So, Simon, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think, you know, there is this differentiation between, let's call it the market and economy, the real economy, and the actual market, financial markets. So I think, you know, at this point in time, you know, particularly towards the middle, towards the end of last year, I think what we saw is there was just too much bad news priced into South African assets. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned, we saw a lot of the big counters, especially the commodity counters, run towards the end of last year. And what we were finding was, especially in that mid-cap sector. So, you know, for your value managers, and remember, sort of the way that we sort of express our views or access opportunities for clients is predominantly through third-party fund managers. Mm-hmm. So what we were seeing in that space, particularly, you saw value managers do particularly well, and that was mostly on the back of being willing to sort of deviate, let's call it, away from the broader indices, so away from your resources or industrials, and looking at counters, for example, something like Remgro or something like ACI. You know, those counters or companies which are particularly, you know, high quality or let's call it good value in terms of how they were priced. And so I think that's typically where we saw the most opportunities last year.
And if we turn, I guess, for a moment to offshore, I was chatting with Nkunza there for a moment, talking NASDAQ and, you know, worries around the inflation that's happening, the Fed ultimately rising rates. If we look at local versus offshore, I mean, is it an easy, clear, stark answer of one or the other, or is it, as always, the answer is perhaps a little more nuanced and complicated?
Yes, I think, again, Simon, I think from our side, what we would do there is we would take more of a portfolio approach. So we'd look at, you know, how we can construct portfolios in a way that are particularly robust for clients. I think, you know, the territory that we're heading into is uncharted for most investors at this point in time. You saw the U.S. Sort of inflation couldn't come out at 7% last week. So I think what that does is it puts us in an environment where, you know, if interest rates, global interest rates increase, you're typically looking at an environment where ultimately it's going to affect valuations and fundamentals are going to matter more. So what we really try to do is avoid those parts of the market that we think are particularly expensive. So something like U.S. tech, you know, comes into mind here. And obviously the bigger names, they're your usual suspects, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Facebook. You know, those typically don't comprise chunky or substantial parts of our portfolio. We have looked at other emerging markets, for example, where we think there's more compelling value or better pockets of value. But at the same stage, you know, we do have an environment where inflation and global interest rates can potentially increase. It's more about how you time those positions or more about how you weight those positions. That's probably the better way to put it. So we do think, you know, some emerging markets offer better value. And then again, something like China, for example, which sold off substantially last year, some of those companies and some of those sectors are attractive. Again, they come with very specific risks, which are, I suppose, somewhat more understandable at this stage. But I think that's where we've applied our minds to a great extent. You know, better valuations probably outside of the U.S. and particularly U.S. tech, but somewhat more patient in terms of how we build those positions. And then in SA as well, you know, somewhat more circumspect in terms of how we allocate capital. And again, that being said, I think cash in an environment where inflation is picking up, the opportunity cost of holding too much cash in your portfolios is also particularly high. So trying to balance all these things in the portfolio is probably where we've spent the most of our time, and making sure that, you know, as we go into this really uncertain period, we try to manage client expectations and build portfolios that are somewhat more resilient.
Yeah, I like that, and it is. I mean, yeah, we were at those at or around all time highs, depending on, you know, local markets, offshore markets. It's no longer just to buy the index, and that's the key point, and manage those expectations going forward. We'll leave it there. Sean Nethling, Morningstar Investment Management, South Africa. Appreciate the early morning. Our poll today, we're asking on our LinkedIn and our Twitter, is exactly that. I mean, offshore versus local. Where are you looking to put your money? What are you anticipating? Is it offshore, perhaps local for the win? Perhaps, as Sean says there, it's bits of both. It's never quite that binary. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Deepak Ramaraju, Principal Advisor for the India Opportunities Fund at Sanlam International Investment. Deepak, appreciate joining us on the line today. Before I delve into some details, I mean, India as an economy, sixth largest in the world, just behind the UK, growing fast, and all of those above it growing faster, with the exception of China. A fairly stable currency as well, fairly stable political environment. In that sense, actually, broadly, an attractive investment destination for investors looking for some offshore exposure.
Good morning, Simon. It's my pleasure joining the call. You snatch my words, basically. So it's a stable political environment that we have, a largest, sixth largest economy. It is fastest growing economy in the world today. It's growing at 9% per annum. And obviously, it's going to be most preferred investment destination across the globe as of now. China was 10 years back. That's what India is now transforming into. So we are looking at more like a stable currency. And we are seeing a set of huge foreign direct investments opening up into the country with the new the PLI schemes introduced by the government, the production-linked incentive scheme introduced by the government. There's been kind of a decent kind of interest in Indian investment scenario.
And as an investment destination, I mean, looking at the market, looking at the holdings within the fund, it's actually it's diverse. I mean, it's not dominated. You know, if you look at South Africa, we're at times dominated by the resources. We're at times dominated by the financials. I mean, here we've really got diverse. I mean, some of them, for example, Asian Paints, which is, you know, going to be fairly uncorrelated with a lot of the other investment opportunities. There's a Hindustan Unilever, which we know Unilever, but it's an opportunity to invest in a business which for the average investor probably in EM space simply not available.
Yes, so we are a population of 1.4 billion people and it's got a huge consumption base. So obviously diversification matters here because the consumption pattern changes within the country. We have different consumption patterns within the country. When we take the names like Hindustan Unilever or Asian Paints, they are the broad representation of the consumption theme in India. Mm-hmm. So they actually come under the consumer staple kind of a business model. So that's the reason I would like to diversify myself into the portfolio to a wide extent. And having said that, the diversification is very critical in India because we can't just take risk on particular sectors there. And because we make money in all the sectors that we try to invest in. So there's an ample scope of making money in all other sectors as well. You don't want to get left out in one particular sector. Because what we have seen in market is there's a cycles of change when for sectors leadership that's going to happen over a period of time. So mm-hmm. in different phases of time, different sectors rally. So you don't want to be left out on any of the sectors. So it makes sense to be diversified and well protected in the kind of a market that we're operating.
If we bring it back for a last question to the Indian economy, one of the trends we've seen globally is inflation rising, and that's obviously in many economies seeing rate increases, or as in the case of the US, those rate increases will come in time. Is India in the same place? Is that a concern, or is it something which you expect will be sort of relatively benign and able to be handled by the relevant authorities?
Yes, inflation is a concern. I don't deny that. It's a global phenomenon that entire globe is going through. Definitely, it's already been priced in because if you actually look at the Indian markets, the data is already there and everybody know that the core inflation has also been there, but it's going to be cyclical. And we are going to see the base rate, the base factor coming to play, and then the inflation is going to be moderated over a period of time. So I don't see a significant threat from inflation as of now, unlike what US is facing, because they are pumping so much amount of liquidity and they've been continuously printing money. So unlike that, India doesn't mm-hmm. print so much of money. So that's been the major factor. So we are not print so much money that the inflation is going to hurt us too much. So that's been a kind of major difference what the regulators have really done. And moreover, we have a very good foreign reserves, forex reserves to control the currency movements. And that also controls the imported inflation to a large extent. So what we are trying to do is, as a country, we have moved away from the kind of reducing the import basket, wherein we were heavy dependent on the crude imports. Mm-hmm. So that is offset by the total number of the IT exports that we are trying, or the service exports that's been contributed from India. And now with this introduction of the new PLI scheme, over the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to see a lot of exports coming from other sectors like textile, specialty chemicals or pharmaceutical for that matter. So these are the sectors which are going to take the leadership in the exports to going ahead. So that's going to offset to a large extent on the inflation. And the core inflation was also contributed by the rise in food prices, which has also been kind of dropping as of now. We are seeing the food price pressure dropping to a certain extent. And that's going to cool off a bit. I don't say that the interest rate hike is not there, but it's already been priced. The market knows that 25 basis point rate hike might happen anytime in 2022. So it's already been priced into a large extent.
Yeah, I take your point on that. And especially, I mean, there's a lot around it. For example, balance of trades, the growing export economy. Deepak Ramaraju, yes. Principal Advisor for the Indian Opportunities Fund at Sanlam International Invest. Appreciate the early morning, sir. That's it for today. A poll we were asking on our Twitter and LinkedIn on Friday. We've been chatting with David Buckham, the author of the book, The End of Money. They talk around an erosion of trust in banks over the last decade or so. Our question was, has your trust in banks eroded over the last decade plus? About just over half of you said yes. A third of you were saying, no, all is good. Just over 10% said, you know what, never really trusted the banks anyway, keeping your money under the bed. Remember, have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Nicole, Nebuchle, Eddie. Thanks to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.